Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Because of their rebellious transgressions, fools humiliate themselves, and their souls are afflicted. Nevertheless, if they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, He will mercifully save them from their distresses through the healing power of His Word and His Spirit. Please open your Bible to Psalm 107, verse 9, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his study of this chapter.
The second little mini gospel is in verses 9 through 16, where we see a weary captive needing freedom, needing a deliverer. And this group who was in captivity represents those who are in darkness and in misery and in chains. You know why? Because of rebellion against God. We live on a planet that is in rebellion against God. Verse 9. For He satisfieth the longing soul, or the frantic soul, or the craving soul, the soul that thirsts for salvation, and He fills the hungry soul with goodness. Now, verse 5 and verse 9, where it says, "For He satisfieth the hungry soul and fills the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." In verse 5, "Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them." That's the kind of people that God helps. Those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, those who realize that they are lost. It's actually admission, "Lord, that contrary to the image that the world wants me to paint of myself, I don't have it all together. I'm Humpty Dumpty on steroids. I'm broken, I'm crushed, I do not even have a clue how to guard my own heart, how to make wise choices. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty." And you know, when Jesus had that multitude around Him in the Sermon on the Mount, first of all, He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." That's how you enter into the kingdom of God. You don't go before God with a resume of how great you are, how many times you've gone to church, how much. You don't go with your checkbook. "Here, Lord, I'm going to give you my statement here. I've given this much. I've served this often. Oh, you've probably noticed all of the good things I've done." The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, that our righteousness is a filthy rag. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, every man in his best state is altogether vanity. And here we are tonight. It's not that we used to hunger and thirst for the Lord. We hunger and thirst for Him tonight, don't we? I believe that as you grow in the Lord, you realize more and more how much more you need Him, how much more you hunger for Him. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Within every human heart is a longing which only God alone can satisfy. The New American Standard and the NIV tell us in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that God has set eternity inside of every image bearer of God. Deep within every human being, there is a divine vacuum that is longing to be filled. And unfortunately, well, that's one of the reasons why I believe God put the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible for us. Save us a whole lot of time, a whole lot of pain, a whole lot of money. Solomon thought, "Oh, I can fill this emptiness with wine, with women, with music, with all of these other things." And did he satisfy that hunger? No. He said, it's all vain. Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for that's what life is all about. You can't fill eternity with something temporal. In Luke 1:53, we read, "He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich," or the self-sufficient, "He sends empty away." Jesus met a woman who had been married 5 times and was presently living with someone. And Jesus met her at a well. And this woman didn't know it, but deep down inside, she was hungry and thirsty. And as Jesus was having a conversation with her, the Spirit of God began to show her that this man that she was talking to had something to offer her that no other man could provide, sexually, emotionally, or anything. And Jesus said to that woman, "Whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." That woman was changed. She was changed. And remember, she left her bucket there. She went back to town. And the Bible says in John's Gospel chapter 4 that she went and she told all the men, "Hey, I just met a man that knows all about me." They're probably thinking, uh-oh. Her life was changed, radically changed. Just like your life and my life has been radically changed by the living God. Hungry and thirsty. Hungry and thirsty. Notice, verse 10. "Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron," or literally prisoners of humiliation and iron. Notice again why. "Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned or despised the counsel of the Most High." Once again, men are condemned to darkness and the shadow of death because they have rebelled against the words of God. That's always what happens when a person or a nation turns against the word of God. Rebellion, the Bible tells us, is as the spirit of witchcraft. It blinds you. We're born into this world blinded by the god of this world, blinded by a darkened heart. In the book of Isaiah, we read in chapter 1, verse 2, the Lord says, "O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought me up children, and they have rebelled against me." Now, I don't want to dig up any bad stuff. But how many times have we gotten ourselves into trouble because we have rebelled against the counsel of God? Or we thought, "I'm smarter than God. If I do this, this happens to everyone else, but it will never happen to me." Don't raise your hands. There's people that go to other churches, not us. It happens, doesn't it? You know, we're living today in America like in the day of Judges. We're living at a time where every man is making up their own rules. Every man is doing what is right in their own eyes. We don't want to hear what God has to say. Just look at our political system. Everything that is God's design, they turn it around and make it legal or normal. That doesn't make it legal or normal. We are in rebellion against God. So many people, "I want to do it my own way. Just leave me alone, Lord." Oh, yeah. Where did that get you and me? By God's grace, it got us right to the foot of the cross, didn't it? And you know what? And he was right there. You know, our nation has rejected God's counsel regarding creation, regarding gender, regarding marriage, regarding the life of the unborn. And look at what we are reaping. The consequences of rebellion against God. Because whatever you sow, you reap. "Therefore," verse 12, "because they rebelled against God's word and his counsel, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then," notice verse 13, "when there was none to help, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble." The Bible says God is long-suffering. Long-suffering. "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses." He brought brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands in sunder, or snapped open their bonds. It's the idea of their chains being broken. It's like in the book of Acts chapter 12 verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. You know, the lion of the tribe of Judah eats chains. You know that? He breaks chains of bondage and darkness. And here's the point here. The point is that the self-sufficient, those who think that they are competent, are eventually brought down by the works of their own hands, and they are left helpless. Why? Because there's a biblical principle. God is opposed to the proud. God resists the proud. That's a biblical principle. He gives grace to the what? To the humble. So you have the self-sufficient. And then you have the insufficient. That's you and me. We're the insufficient ones. We know that we need help. We cry out to the Lord for His grace, for His mercy. And then in verse 15, again, because we're prone to forget. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. So the Lord knows we have a short attention span. He told us 7 verses ago. He says, but you might forget, so let me remind you again. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. That's a wonderful way to start a day. You know, you're I don't know if you drink coffee, tea, whatever it is, you know, you need a couple minutes to kind of like get the engine going. Just, oh Lord, You are so good. Oh Lord, Your mercy is new every morning. Oh Lord, I just praise You for who You are. Boy, and that gets you going faster than dark coffee. Praising Him for His goodness. Notice, for He has broken the gates of brass, cut the bars of iron in sunder. Now, I mentioned Cyrus at the beginning of our study tonight. And in chapter 45, verses 1 and 2, we read, thus saith the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. That's what the Lord had done. He's broken the gates of brass. He has cut asunder the chains that have held us in bondage. He says, I will make the crooked places straight. That's what He does. He straightens us out, doesn't He? And He keeps on straightening us out. And so they are to thank the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works. And then in verses 17 through 20, a third mini-gospel, we see a sick soul needing healing who finds a physician. And here in verse 17 we read, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. One translation says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, humiliate themselves. Now, while it is wrong to say or to ascribe all sickness to sin, it like is in the case of the blind man in John's Gospel chapter 9. Who sinned, this man or his parents? Nobody sinned. This is for the glory of God. Nonetheless, there are many sicknesses that are the direct results of foolish acts of our fleshly lust. Now, when the Bible talks about a fool, it doesn't refer to someone who is mentally deficient, because there are a lot of brilliant fools. They just don't believe the Genesis account of creation. But they're brilliant. There's a lot of brilliant people, but they're fools, because the fool has said in his heart or her heart, there is no God. The fool is not unintelligent. The fool is a person who is in rebellion. And the word tells us here, point blank, for the reason for this particular group's affliction, pain, and suffering was singular, because of the foolishness of their sin. Now, bear in mind, beloved, sin isn't called bad because it is forbidden. Sin is forbidden because it's bad. You notice the difference? When God says, thou shalt not, he's saying, don't harm yourself. Don't hurt yourself. Don't do something that is going to cause you or others pain or sorrow. Sin is forbidden because it's bad, and it invariably brings destruction. And truth be told, beloved, we seem to bring a whole lot of grief on ourselves, don't we? We do. Now, thank God that there's forgiveness and there's mercy. But notice, these people in rebellion, their soul abhors, verse 18, all manner of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death. Verse 19, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. My, oh my. My, oh my. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is not willing that any perish. He's long-suffering. Not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. Notice this group that we're looking at right here. They are in trouble and needing a physician because they are in rebellion. They are in rebellion. But it says they cried out to God in their trouble. Now, rebels don't deserve grace, do they? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. We don't deserve grace, but that's what grace is. It is undeserved favor. Grace is undeserved favor for people who don't deserve it. So what does that describe? That describes everybody here tonight. That describes everybody on the planet. And so they cry out to God, and he responds to their call for help. What a gracious and merciful God we have. And if you are in great trouble tonight, and you know that the reason for your trouble is your own rebellion, some may tell you that you better get your act together first and then call out to God. No, no, no. You call out to God, and he will help you. He will forgive you. He will deliver you. They cried out to God. They were crying out. They were hungry. They were thirsty. They were desperate. And God heard them. Notice, he sent his word. This is the healing word. And healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Our God, one of the titles of our God is Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals. He still heals tonight, right? Believe that? He heals physical needs, mental needs, emotional needs. He is a healing God. I love the account in Matthew chapter 8. The centurion has a servant, and the Lord was told to come and see him. He goes, no, I'm not worthy. He says in verse 8 of Matthew 8, that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Lord, just speak that word. Just speak it. And Jesus marveled at the man's faith. He says, I'm a man under authority, and I say to those in a lesser rank, you go here. Yes, sir. You do that. Yes, sir. And they do it. He says, I recognize your authority. You speak the word. You don't have to come all the way here. You just speak the word. My servant will be healed. Amen. That's Jehovah Rapha. That's your God. That's my God. How many times has God used his word to heal you, to deliver you, to set you free? How many times have you been in a situation, a difficulty, and maybe you turn on the radio or you turn on a worship song, and all of a sudden, here's a song, with a passage of scripture, and God uses it to just minister to your heart. Just what you need. What a coincidence. How many coincidences like that have happened in your life and in my life? How many times have we had a particular problem, and as you were praying, the Lord, you open up the Bible, and all of a sudden, there it is, right in front of you. Jehovah Rapha brings you a word. He gives you a scripture. He gives you a lyric from a worship song. The scripture flashes in your mind. That's just what I needed. How many times has that happened to you? Lots, right? Right? Doesn't it happen? All the time. In your inbox. Oh, who's this? What's Reuben texting me? Wow, look at this. I was just reading this. I must need to hear it. You know, the best counsel that you and I can give to someone who's going through a time of difficulty or sorrow is the Word of God. Yes, be there for them. Yes, weep with them. Yes, put your arms around them. Forget about social distancing. You know, you don't put your arms around someone. You stay 6 feet away. No, 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 no. You're crying, I'm hugging you. Right? But the best thing you can do is give them the Word of God. Just give them the Word of God. I love what it says in Proverbs chapter 4. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. It's like medicine. You send someone God's Word, it is medicine for their souls, their minds, their hearts. Isn't that wonderful? And then in verse 21, because he knows Ray Viola has a tendency to forget. Raymond, let me tell you again for the third time, because you probably forgot the first two times. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, yeah, yeah, yes, the Lord. I get it. And then it says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. You know, in the Old Testament, in order to approach God, people had to come to the priest with a specific kind of a sacrifice. And there were different sacrifices that were offered to God. And through these different sacrifices, you could approach God. You could have your sin atoned for. There would be a peace offering and offerings like, you know, they were only types and shadows. Those sacrifices had to be repeated year after year after year after year after year. Then Jesus came. And he sacrificed once and for all, forever, and all of the temporal sacrifices were done with. And we come to God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Through him. Totally through him. So what sacrifices are required of you and me? Well, not sacrifices of redemption, but in the book of Romans chapter 12, the Lord says through the Apostle Paul, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. How do you respond to the message of the cross? Here's the sinner's prayer. Lord, here I am. I believe you died on the cross for my sin. I believe that you were buried and rose again. And here I am. I'm yours. I'm all yours. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.